نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمد أجمعين. Brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We meet again in this wonderful series that brings, that flutters the hearts away from this, the misery of this world, and takes the minds away from the illusion of this dunya which we live in. My brothers and sisters in Islam, this dunya which we live in, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls it dunya, its name reflects its reality. The word dunya in Arabic is derived from the origin dana'a, which means to be insignificant, to be low and belittled. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called this world dunya, which means belittled one, the miserable one, the little one, the one that is in the below of the belows. It's below anything and there's nothing beneath it, meaning there's nothing beneath it in level. And when a person says that I love life, it depends what they mean by that. If they mean the life of this world and what's in it, up to the point of death, then they have narrowed the path of Allah's generosity and the great rewards. They've narrowed it for themselves and they've just accepted a very temporary, narrow and really worthless existence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the Jews about how they love this dunya so much and warns us not to be like them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes sides with us by saying, وَلَتَجِدَنَّهُمْ أَحْرَصَ النَّاسِ عَلَىٰ حَيَاهِ, which means, and you will find them that they are the most caring and insistive and they grasp tightly on a life. Notice that in this verse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not say الحَيَاة. For those of you who know Arabic, you will know what I'm talking about. When you put al in front of a name, in front of a name al, or in front of a description al, you are giving it honor, you are giving it status, you are making it important. But when you take off the al, you are making it insignificant. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls this life haya. It doesn't even say al. So He says, you will find them, the Jews, they are the most grovelling and they hold the tightest onto a life, haya, which means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining to us that, oh you people, don't you understand, if only you knew that this life here is nothing. It's not, it's worth nothing. It's a haya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't even, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it's not even worth having al in the beginning. And He calls it dunya, coming from dana'a, which means belittled, miserable, insignificant, in the lowest of the low. We look at the world and we see its beauty, my dear brothers and sisters. We notice, I mean, if we've ever looked under the sea and we've seen the life of the fish, the aquatic life, your mind will be boggled of all the amazing things your mind has never even imagined, of the colors that you can see in there, the creatures, the types of fish that you could never imagine. Nobody could ever imagine or see unless they went in the depth of the oceans with the technology today. And there are still beyond that. The marine biologists say that there are still beyond what we have already discovered, thousands of things and creatures which we haven't even expounded upon in the depth of the oceans and the seas. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that there are creatures in the heaven up above us and in the earth and beneath us and within us that we haven't even encountered yet. And when we see it, how much does our mind drift off into a different world? As if there is, it's as if it's paradise underneath the oceans and seas, when you look at the colors and the sceneries and all of that. Well, this is the dunya which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls insignificant. He is the one who calls it a hayat. It's not worth having an an in the beginning. It's worthless. Therefore, those who strive for it have narrowed their options and narrowed their goals. What I mean by that is that those who strive for it and forget the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains about people who sell this world, who sell the hereafter for a temporary life. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ اشْتَرَوُوا الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا بِالْآخِرَةِ. They are the ones who bought this life in exchange, who bought this life in sacrifice of the hereafter. And Allah says in the Quran, وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا مَتَاعٌ. And the example of this world compared to the hereafter is like temporary enjoyment, an illusion. As we said last week, it's like a person walking in a desert and he sees a mirage because he's so thirsty. When he reaches it, a mirage, like he sees a lake, an ocean. When he reaches it, he realizes it's only sand and his eyes is playing games on him. And this is how this world delights us, playing games on us, my dear brothers and sisters. And so, I understand why it should be, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created it as an examination, a test, an illusion for us to try and delude us, and then He warned us not to go towards it, because there is the shaitan sitting on that path, and there are your desires and your temptations, and He tells you, you are on a test, only for a short while, and soon you will leave it, and then there is either Jannah, in which Allah has prepared, and of which no eye has ever seen, or ear has ever heard, or heart has ever imagined, or hellfire, of which also no eye has ever seen, or ear has ever heard, or heart has ever imagined. The torture and the punishment in hellfire is also something which people have never been able to imagine or never can conceive. Just like Jannah is, but opposite. Jannah, complete na'im. Na'im means complete blessing, complete comfort, complete luxury. And Jahannam, complete Jaheem, which means misery, torture, ugliness, darkness, in its absolute far extremes. Two different things. Which one do we want to live in eternal life? Well, we mentioned that last week. Brothers and sisters, just let me recall a little bit for those who are new here. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he placed his tiny finger, this last finger here, into the ocean one time. And he lifted it, and a few drops dropped, and a bit of the wetness stayed on his finger. He said to his companions, this world, in its beauty, compared to the beauty of the hereafter, meaning paradise, and in its value, is like the amount of water that wet my finger compared to the rest of the ocean, which I've just dipped my finger in. Allahu Akbar. Look at the difference, my brothers and sisters. And Allah also said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also says, if the world, لو كانت الدنيا تساوي عند الله جناح بعوضة لما سقى منها الكافر شربة ماء. If the whole world and everything in it was to be worth in the eyes of Allah, the wind of a mosquito, I mean, how significant is that to us? Allah would not give the disbeliever a drop of its water. How significant it is. So insignificant. So woe and feel sorry for those who grovel after it and forget their hereafter. My brothers and sisters in Islam, our aim in life is to work for that which is eternal. And one of the problems is that our eyes always look out to the things that they can see in front of them. However, the eye of the mu'min sees with its heart, beyond this world, that there is a great Jannah in store for them. But that you cannot work for it unless you have proper iman and belief in its existence. It's like what the companions used to say, that if the hereafter was placed in front of us, we could see it before our eyes, it wouldn't make a difference for us in our belief in it. Like, we'd believe in it the same way, in its existence. That's how sure they were of it. Are you sure of its existence? If you are, then how come our actions don't prove that? How come our abstaining from haram does not prove that? How come our life revolves around the haram? How can we prove that? I would like to move on today, my brothers and sisters, after saying this hadith first of all, after saying this hadith, and then I would like to move on by talking about the descriptions of heaven according to the Quran and the Sunnah and various scholars of the past. Before I say it, behold, so that no one can misunderstand this. The Prophet ﷺ said, nobody will enter paradise in exchange for their deeds. Not even you, Ya Rasulullah, he said, not even I, except if Allah were to give me His mercy. From here we understand, something technical for us to understand, that don't anyone think that paradise is equal to our good actions. And for people to think that they were, if they gave $1,000, fi sabilillah, or if they gave all their wealth, fi sabilillah, that it is a right against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He must and has to give you Jannah because you've donated all your wealth, and you think that that is equivalent to the beauty of paradise. No, it's not, my dear brothers and sisters. It's not equivalent, not enough. In fact, nothing is enough. If you pray the prayers of all the prophets and the messengers, it will not be actually enough to be the value of paradise. Jannah does not have a price. There is no price to Jannah. There's nothing that can reach the price of Jannah. That's how valuable and beautiful it is. There is no price. You can't pay for it. But what we can pay for is that with our deeds, Allah's mercy kicks in. And through His mercy, He multiplies our deeds to the point where we begin to deserve certain levels in paradise. Certain levels in paradise. Some people, they sit there thinking, Iman is in my heart, that's enough. Like, ya akhi, wallahi, if you prayed all the prayers of the prophets and messengers, it wouldn't be enough. So how can you just say Iman in my heart? Allah's mercy won't even reach you if you just say Iman's in my heart and you don't pray, don't fast, don't abstain from the haram, don't do anything. And you might share other ideologies of other systems, and you might ridicule some values of Islam itself. Such as some people, the likes of those people who say Iman is in my heart, the likes of those people, they say things like this. Say things like, in this day and age, I don't need my beard. In this day and age, hijab, I think, is not required. In this day and age, I don't think we need to dress in this way. In this day and age, we probably are allowed to shake the hands of women, because society in this day and age is different to the days of the Prophet. And then they say to you, Iman is in my heart. What Iman? Iman in the Quran and the Sunnah? Well, you've just made up your own religion. Because if you believe that the religion is for all times, then you become a hypocrite. So how could such a person expect to enter Jannah with such a belief? When the Prophet ﷺ said, even I cannot enter paradise only because of my actions. We are all indebted to Allah, my brothers and sisters. There is a story of the past, the scholars tell us that a man was gathered on the Day of Judgment. And he had so many deeds as far as he could see with the mountains. Then he said, I want to enter paradise because of my deeds. Allah said, let him enter paradise with my mercy. He said, no. He thought that he can get more with his deeds. So Allah said, very well, then I have to be fair in that sense. Bring me, there's something that he owes me for. I gave him the blessing of eyesight that he could see, that he would have never done without it. If he could not see, maybe his state would be different. Bring me the blessing of eyesight and place it on the scale. And it was heavier than all of his deeds. So we are always... And then he said, no, please, Ya Rabbi, let me enter with my deeds. The point of this story is that our actions, my brothers and sisters, can never equal the price of paradise. Don't ever think that. And that's how valuable Jannah is. You should be proud of that. Because that's how valuable Jannah is. Otherwise, people can worship Allah for 50 or 60 years, let's say, and before they die, they just say to themselves, well, I've worshipped for 15, 60 years, I've done too much. I think I should deserve paradise by now. So I think I deserve to go out and probably sleep around a few girls. I want to earn a little bit of haram now. I want to, you know, probably drink a little bit, try the things I've never tried before. And because I've done enough to enter paradise. Don't fool yourself. This is not right. You enter with the mercy of Allah. Because someone may disobey Allah for 40 or 50 or 60 years or 70 or 100 years. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may will for him to find the straight guidance, may know that he deserves to be guided. And he may worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala properly and repent within the last year of his life, and he'll enter Jannah. Right? So it is not directly because of our actions. But our actions get the mercy of Allah, and Allah multiplies our actions and tells us, you deserve this level and you deserve that level. Is that understandable, inshaAllah? My brothers and sisters in Islam, so our aim is to enter not only the lowest part of paradise, but the highest place in Jannah. This is why the Prophet ﷺ used to say, when you ask Allah for heaven, ask Him for the Firdaus. And we all know that the Firdaus is the highest position of all the paradises which Allah SWT created. Above it, above Firdaus, is the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's the highest level man can reach. That's where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be, and a lot of the martyrs, a lot of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he said, always ask for the highest. Not like what some people say, yeah, okay, just to be safe from hellfire is enough for me. Or, okay, I'll get tortured a bit. La ilaha illallah. Wallahi, you are a great fool if you think like that. For one day, in the hereafter, it's like 1,000 years of what we count. And for a dip in hellfire, in the hadith, one dip in hellfire makes you forget who you are and all the life that you ever lived, even if it were thousands of years. You won't remember anymore because of the one dip. Hellfire is unbelievable. And just to say that just to be saved from hellfire, well then you are in great danger of really falling into hellfire, not only into hellfire but into lower levels. Because when you aim high, brothers and sisters, you will reach higher. When you aim at the highest goal, there is a lesson for us to learn here. I know we're talking about Jannah, but this is also a lesson from learning about what the Prophet said about Jannah. As if he's saying to us that this lesson can be learned in life and in the hereafter. Always aim in your goals for the highest. Isn't that right? If you get halfway, it's still high. But if you aim for halfway, you're going to get even less maybe, because your motivation is less. So we said, when you ask Allah, ask Him sincerely for Al-Firdaus, the highest place in paradise. And you will find that your actions are multiplied and much better. You will find some other people doing certain actions, they would think that, oh, they're doing a lot, but to you, you'll know, oh, you know, such little actions have been done there. You might do so many actions, but you think to yourself, if they don't add up, I still need more, I still got to do more. That's how we got to live in our life. And a life between hope and fear. I got to avoid as many sins as I can. And repent for any sins I stumble upon. I will not leave any gaps in my life to die. I will not leave sins that I will die with and meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with. I will repent constantly between all my prayers. I will repent constantly between Friday and Friday. From every Ramadan to every Ramadan. I will seize every opportunity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made for me in my life in order to avoid the sins and repent from them when I do them. And to have the urge to do them. I will avoid the company of bad friends who will call me to them. I will avoid the things that I can see with my eyes that will lead me to it, or things that I read, or things that I learn. I will avoid these things. That's what a Muslim's aim is in life. Now, and I will practice the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ and use him as my role model. So aim for the highest place, my dear brothers and sisters. Jannah is only one name of Jannah. In the Quran, we know of 7 different names. To the best of my ability, I know of 7 different names of Jannah. And I know of 7 different types of Jannah. But my dear brothers and sisters, there are thousands and thousands of levels in Jannah. Don't think there are only 7 levels. There are thousands of levels, and in some hadiths there are 100 levels. Between each level, there is 500 years of journey for a person who's riding on a horse. Between every level of Jannah, one level to the other, there is about 500 years of journey for a person who's riding on his horse. So imagine being in the 50th level or the 100th level of Jannah, how far away you are and how much. And the higher you go in Jannah, the more luxury, the more beauty, the more unimaginable. I mean, the first level, only the lowest level of Jannah, wallahi, are the things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us. There are things in there which no eye has ever seen, or ear has ever heard, or heart has ever imagined. We're talking about Allah when He says this, He's talking about the common lowest level. As for what is beyond that, then forget about even trying to understand. Beyond that, is beyond that. Allahu Akbar. And the lowest level is what the eye has never seen, ear has ever heard, or heart has ever imagined. As Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu explains to us in one tafsir, that the lowest level of paradise, a single person who enters it, this is the lowest level of paradise. And the lowest person in the lowest level of paradise will receive a kingdom in there, and a beauty in there, and a kingdom in there, the size of 500 years journey for a person who is walking or running, yani traveling. 500 years journey just across your own kingdom in the lowest level of Jannah. Allahu Akbar. And Jannah cannot easily be bought. You need to earn it, my brothers and sisters. We need to at least do the 5 compulsory pillars of Islam and the 6, believe in the 6 pillars of Iman and avoid the major sins which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden, and if we do them, repent. If you live a life like that, inshaAllah, you are on your way to heaven. You are on your way to paradise and moving away from hellfire. As I said, Jannah has about 7 different names. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls in the Quran sometimes as Darul Khuld. Darul Khuld. The home of eternity. He also calls it Darul Salam. Look how beautiful these names are. The home of peace and tranquility and harmony. Jannatu Adn, the Garden of Eden. And the Garden of Eden is a place in all of that is in the center of all the paradises. Whoever goes there, like if you go there to visit and you're allowed in Jannah, you get to see, it's like a horizon that gets to look at all the paradise. It's like going on a really high hill and you're looking down on the world. It is also called Jannatul Ma'wa, the garden of eternal existence. Jannatul Khuld instead of Darul Khuld, home and also garden of eternity. Jannatul Firdaus, as Allah also calls it in the Quran. And Jannatul Na'im, the garden of luxury, the garden of comfort, the garden of all your desires that you ever imagine, ever will for, ever wish for, ever desire, and more. These are 7 names that I know from the Quran. As for its palaces, then yes, my dear brothers and sisters, not just gardens, but you have palaces and homes to live in and dwell in. The Prophet ﷺ says that the last people that enter paradise, they are taken out of hellfire. And they bathe in a lake, the lake of life. And they will have, they will wash away and they'll become bright as light. And when they enter paradise, Jannah, they walk to their palaces. They know it so well, where it is. And they know it exactly where it is. That's how familiar Allah makes them with their kingdom and with their palaces in Jannah, as Prophet ﷺ said, just as well as they used to know their own homes in this life. When you go to your home now, how well do you know how to get there? You know, very well, in the streets, you know how to get there, you know the backyard, you know the rooms, you know everything about your house, more than any other stranger. Well, those last people who come straight out of hellfire and enter Jannah, lowest of the grades of heaven, they know their palaces, where they are, just like they used to know and become familiar with them in this life. And these palaces, my dear brothers and sisters, we'll talk about the common ones in the lowest place. As Prophet ﷺ said, لَبِنَةٌ مِّن ذَهَبٌ وَلَبِنَةٌ مِّن فِضَّةٌ. They consist, some of them consist of golden bricks and silver bricks. Now I don't want you to sit down here and try to imagine the golden bricks and silver bricks of this world. The only reason why Allah and His Messenger tell us, you know, speak of gold and speak of silver and speak of colors and fruits, it's just so that we can get an idea of what's in there. But however, the gold and silver in paradise obviously is not like the gold and silver here. It's beyond our capability of understanding. However, it is the gold of paradise and the silver of Jannah. So the bricks are made of gold bricks and silver bricks. And the cement that holds the brick together So if you look at these bricks over here, you find the cement that goes in between them. Does anyone over here care about what this cement looks like? I mean, we're all looking at it, okay, it's just cement. How many of us walk into this room here and start analyzing every piece of cement and grain of cement that there is around the bricks? None of us. It's insignificant. While in paradise, this insignificant cement is made from a mixture of musk, a fragrance. And Allah makes it into the cement that holds the bricks. Unimaginable. La ilaha illallah. Some of the palaces have 3,000 rooms in them, beyond our imagination of understanding. Some of these rooms have water that travels underneath your feet. There is no obstacle between them and you can walk on it. And it's like a river flowing. And you can walk on that river. Some of these rooms, they have walls that are so much, they are light. And you think that they are a wall, but you walk right through them. Nur upon nur. The palaces, my dear brothers and sisters, are unimaginable. They have pillars, they have domes. And around your palace are gardens as well, Jannat. In fact, some of the palaces behind them, if you look, there are, Allah SWT says, وَمِن دُونِهِمَا جَنَّتَانِ. And beyond all these heavens, there are also two special gardens. Some people get them as their backyard in their palace. In Jannah, my dear brothers and sisters, there are trees like no eye has ever seen or heart has ever imagined. Some of these trees have such a large shade that it will take a person 3 days to walk to pass the shade of this wonderful huge tree. There are trees in paradise that are special, that have specific types of leaves. Each leaf has a different structure. That when a tiny breeze hits, as you're reclining, Allah SWT describes it, as in one of the poems of the scholars, says, when you are reclining underneath one of the trees in the ghil, in the shade of it, with your family, yes, you have a family in Jannah, Allah SWT sends a tiny breeze, and it makes it hit the leaves of the trees. When the leaves hit one another, they produce a beautiful melody, a beautiful music, like no music that has ever been heard on earth before. Now, in Jannah, the food of Jannah is remarkable. Of all the colors that one can imagine and more, all the taste, and we don't just have the same amount of taste buds that we have here. There are millions and trillions of taste buds in Jannah. So imagine the types of different tastes, we can't imagine it, that we have in Jannah. There are apples, there are pears, there are grapes, there are everything that you can imagine, but beyond what you have here. The Prophet ﷺ was once praying. And as he was praying, the companions were watching him, and then suddenly, as he is praying, he extended his arm out like that, as if he's about to grab something. Suddenly, he moved away. When he finished, they asked him, Ya Rasulullah, what was wrong with you? And he said, Paradise. Allah showed me paradise while I was praying Jannah. And then suddenly, a bundle of grapes was put forth to me to take it. Because I was so moved away, I forgot my existence in life, so I extended my arm to grab the grapes. And then suddenly Allah showed me hellfire and I moved away. He said, Wallah, if I were to take those grapes into this life, it would have fed you and all the people on earth till the last hour, and it will never ever finish, never end. Now, so imagine that. All of you will eat, and all the people of the earth, until the last hour, and it will not run out. No, it's just a bundle of grapes in Jannah. The people in Jannah, when we eat in Jannah or drink in Jannah, there is no need to go to the toilet, as you all know. So there is no ugly smell or bad smells in Jannah that emanate from the body from any place or from any person or from anything. There is no such thing in paradise as ugly smell. Nobody will ever encounter a bad smell or a bad ugliness other than when they see the people in hellfire, or hear a bad, hurtful word of anybody. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Allah says in the Quran, Surah Al-Waqi'ah,
لَا يَسْمَعُونَ فِيهَا لَغْوًا وَلَا تَأْثِيمًا إِلَّا قِيلًا سَلَامًا سَلَامًا.
They will never hear any type of hurtful words over there in Jannah except words of peace and peace everywhere you go. Allah says, tells us in the Quran and the Sunnah, that when we eat and drink, instead of coming out from our backsides or front, it comes out from our skin. Yes, it comes out from our skin. You might be imagining, now how does it come out from our skin? Well, it's not like this world, my dear brothers and sisters. You do sweat in Jannah, but the sweat in Jannah comes out like fragrance. It comes out and evaporates and brings out a beautiful color to your skin and a fragrance to your skin, and then it evaporates. This is how the food comes out. And you will never be like absolutely full to the point where you can't breathe or you can't eat any other bite. You will always desire. Nor will you ever get thirsty to the point or hungry to the point where you're starving and starting getting dizzy and you start getting... You always desire. You always desire. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lets you desire. It puts that desire multiple in Jannah. Because you can wish for anything and desire anything will never run out. You will never ever get bored in Jannah. There's no such thing as boredom. And in some people they ask me, you know, common question. But won't we ever get bored from the daily routine in Jannah? Say to yourself, SubhanAllah, your mind is so narrow. You are thinking of the world. Take your mind out of this world. Jannah is not like this world. Nor is your mind in Jannah like this world. Nor are you the same way in Jannah as you are in this world. Nor is your mentality, nor is your heart, nor is your breathing. You are a super, super, super being in every shape, form and size, everything. Beyond this world. So whoever thinks, don't you get bored, SubhanAllah, we say to them, how narrow is your thinking? One particular brother said, can I get the best car that I could ever imagine in Jannah? SubhanAllah, I said, La ilaha illallah, brother, your mind is very narrowed to the worldly belongings. If you want a car, you can get a car. Like the Bedouin who asked the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on stage. When the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was talking about Jannah, he talked and talked and talked. And one Bedouin put his hand up and said, Ya Rasulullah, a man put his hand up and said, Ya Rasulullah, are we allowed to, you know, when I plant? Well, I'd like to plant and make some crops. The Prophet ﷺ smiled and laughed and he said, SubhanAllah. He said, even after working here in this world, you still want to work there? He said, very well, whatever you desire. If you want to plant, then you can plant. He said, you plant the seed and your plantation will grow before your eyes can even catch up to it. Then it will blossom and grow in front of you and fill the land before your eyes can blink and you can plant again. Then one other companion put his hand up and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I do not assume him to be except for an Ansari and Arabi. For as for us people, and he said, I think that he's probably an Ansari or some other people who like to plant. As for us, we don't like plantation, so we don't want plantation in Jannah, we want to do something else. Prophet ﷺ laughed about that, Ya SubhanAllah. You have whatever you desire, whatever you wish. Another man said, Ya Rasulullah, I'd like to have children in Jannah. You know, I want to have a wife that can have a baby for me in Jannah. The Prophet ﷺ smiled and said, SubhanAllah, a wife in Jannah, Hur al-Ain, which I'm going to talk about inshaAllah, if we have time today, if not inshaAllah next week. But he said, the wife in Jannah, she is able to conceive a child, and within 1 hour, painlessly, she gives birth to the child in 1 hour. And you have a child before you. Imagine children in Jannah are something beyond your glittering imagination. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains to us that in Jannah there are servant young creatures. They're so beautiful. They come around with glasses of wine. Yes, glasses of wine, non-intoxicant in Jannah. They come around holding plates of fruit and food of all your luscious, you know, wonderful desires. And they come around giving to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes and it says, وَيَطُوفُ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلْدَانٌ مُخَلَّدُونَ إِذَا رَأَيْتَهُمْ حَسِبَتَهُمْ لُؤْلُؤًا مَنْثُورًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and always, every now and then, they come around you, servants of young age. And they come around, if you look at them, Allah says, if you were to look at them, O Messenger of God, you would think that they were glittering pearls and diamonds. So if this is how they are, imagine your child in Jannah, how it will look like, if you want a baby. Her figure doesn't change, She doesn't go through pain of labor, anything like that. None of that. Well, anyone who thinks of that, Allah, you don't understand Jannah, and you've narrowed your thinking to the world. In Jannah, you also get to wear clothes. And you don't need to buy your clothes. The best of all clothes are made of the silk of paradise and other material. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions silk because He forbid it for us here, but in paradise it is allowed for the men and women to wear. That silk, my dear brothers and sisters, grows on like fabricated clothes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself has fashioned, and it grows on a tree. On a tree?
Yes.
Your clothes actually grow on a tree. Don't try to imagine it. But it grows on a tree, and you get your clothes from that tree. So it grows like plantation. And you wear it. Silk glittering in absolute noor, like you can never imagine. And imagine the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the artistic ability of all these designers in the world today, these human beings, to create and, you know, invent these beautiful fashions, you know, clothing for you to wear in these garments. You think to yourself, wow, imagine the thousands and thousands of dollars of garments and clothes and clothes that are out there, right? Allah, who gave that ability, that artistic ability for the human being on earth to make that, then imagine, which you can't imagine, the artistic fashion of the clothes in Jannah. When Allah has said everything in this world, the clothes, the food, everything in this world is nothing compared to what is in Jannah. And forget about what the women of Jannah wear in their clothing. We look at the glittering and the beautiful types of clothing available for women here in this world. So imagine what kind of clothing the women of Jannah are wearing. It's beyond that imagination as well. And Allah, the Prophet ﷺ says, لَا تَبْلَى شَبَابُهُمْ وَلَا تَفْنَى ثِيَابُهُمْ. He said, you'll be young youth in Jannah. Your youth will never ever go away. You'll never age. And your clothes will never ever wear out. You're thinking to yourself, what, am I going to keep the same clothes for eternity? No, Ya Akhi al-Kareem, you've narrowed your mind again. Your clothes keep changing to your desire. However, that piece of garment will never get out of fashion, or dirty, or ripped, or ruined, or anything like that. So it's beyond that, subhanAllah. The Prophet ﷺ explains to us that we are young in Jannah. The scholars differed in their opinions about the actual age in Jannah. But then again, my dear brothers and sisters, what is the best age? People have different opinions. Some say 18, 19, 20, some say 25, some say 30, some say 33, others say 35. The majority of the scholars seem to say that we are about in the 30 or 33, some say 25. But nevertheless, the Prophet ﷺ has explained to us, you will be in a youth age, in an age of youth, that is where you reach your absolute prime age. Absolute prime age in all your beauty, your mentality, your body, your strength, in everything. You will be in that absolute prime age in Jannah. And he said, you will be on the similar features of our father Adam alayhi salam. طوله في السماء 60 ذراع. His height in the sky, above us. Obviously in Arabic when you say sama, it doesn't necessarily mean where Allah is above. It means anything that's above us is called sama. So everything that's above is called in Arabic sama. So whoever is above, it says Adam alayhi salam is above in the sama, in the sky, 60 cubits or 60 arm lengths. That's how tall he was, by about 40 arm lengths wide. And Adam alayhi salam, because he was created with Allah's hands and fabricated especially by Allah as the first human being, the fresh human being, he is the most beautiful being ever created. And we will be in a similar feature to Adam alayhi salam, but multiple folds of beauty and nur in Jannah. But in that same sort of design, tall, wide, in that size. And beauty, beyond beauty, wallahi al-azim. And the beauty of the people in Jannah differs from one person to another. You don't all have exactly the same beauty in Jannah. The least of all the beauty, the least of all the beauty in Jannah are, yani, the least people or the last person in the lowest level of paradise. And his beauty is like the stars. They are glittering of light to Allah al-Azim, that his wives in Jannah look at him and say, every time we look at you, you look even more beautiful than anything. And these are women of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created in paradise, made in Jannah. They are not of the women of this world. And they look at the women and the men of this world as being ugly. You know, insignificant, made of soil in this world, and we look like this, but in Jannah, beyond anything is the beauty of a person. And the most beautiful of features in Jannah are obviously the women in Jannah. They are the most beautiful things in Jannah. In fact, the most beautiful of all the beautiful women in Jannah are the women who are the Muslim women who from this world who go into Jannah. They are more beautiful than the others, and the others, they envy their beauty. They wish they can be like their beauty, but they love for them that they have that beauty for the men of Jannah. They love that. We're going to talk about the beauty inshaAllah in our next class, not now. So the people of Jannah are beautiful beyond beauty. And there is a place in Jannah called a market. We go there and we visit and we meet one another. Yes, we meet each other, we visit one another, we buy things, we exchange things, we hug one another, we shake hands with one another, we speak to one another. And every time we meet people of the higher levels of Jannah, yes, we meet the Prophet Muhammad, we meet Isa alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, all the prophets, all the companions that we've imagined, we meet them all. Not only that, we get to sit down and talk with all the angels, and the angels are glittering beyond the sun, Allahu Akbar, and they sit with you and talk to you. In fact, in one hadith it says that just before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala visits you, yes, Allah in His glory and His might, subhanahu jalla jalla, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and yuriyana wajahul kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just before He visits a person in Jannah, yes, and He gets to converse with you and talk to you. Before that, you get to see the people of paradise and you get to sit with the angels of Jannah. They sit with you. In fact, there are angels that come to visit you and they sit with you, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains, under the shade of one of the trees. This particular tree where you visit the angels and you sit with the angels, this tree in Jannah is in the center of paradise, in your own level. Each level has a center with this particular tree. And it's called Shajra Tuba. This Tuba tree is so huge that its shade is so large and every leaf is so huge that it needs a person to ride on a horse for 300 days, as far as I remember, to cross the shade of this tree. You sit there, all the brothers, they come there and they visit and they sit there with the angels and they talk with them. In fact, the one hadith says that an angel sits with you and they say to you and they talk to you to the point where they begin to laugh. Like you begin to talk about the things of this world. You say to the angels, this is what used to happen, this is how the world was. And you begin to talk about jokes and things that make the angel laugh so much. He begins to laugh. He laughs and he says to you, Wallahi, ever since Allah created me, we have never laughed until we sat with you. And so they love to visit and sit and have the company of the people of paradise. You make them laugh a lot. The people, the angel of Jannah. And you get to see all these different types of angels and wonders beyond that. Angels and things which... And in Jannah you are allowed to see the jinns, but the jinns cannot see you. So in this dunya, the jinns see us, we don't see them. In Jannah, it's the opposite. We see the jinns and they don't get to see us. We get to see everything, including the angels, see angel beyond angel. And then suddenly one angel comes and takes your hand and takes you away. And the lowest level we're talking about, takes your hand away from that tree. You pass through a fortress, then another fortress, then another place, through another garden, through another, and each one is more beautiful than the other. And you rise high with this angel, go up and up, higher and higher. And each time you pass, you meet a greater angel, a more beautiful angel beyond the other one. You sit down, you talk to them, they converse with you, they welcome you, they tell you to move on, they direct you, until finally you reach a point where this angel cannot be with you. And there is a veil. Suddenly that veil is released, and a nur, a light which you have never seen before, beyond everything. Suddenly behind that light, you see the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says and speaks to you and talks to you. And some of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to you are words like, Abdi aradita anni. Are you pleased with me, my servant? And you say, yes, ya Rabbi. And He says to you, is everything? Are you fine in paradise? Do you want anything anymore? And he talks to you and tells you about your desires. What do you want? Are you happy? Do you still want more? Over there he begins to tell you, think and think, and he gives you and gives you and gives you, till finally you run out of ideas, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you in this conversation, Abdi, how about this? And what about that? Do you like this? What about this? Let me show you. He shows you everything. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gives you things that you cannot even imagine in paradise and cannot even think of as your wish in Jannah. Then finally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to you, Abdi, I have something very nice for you to say to you. He says, I have bestowed my pleasure upon you, radiq lank, and I will never ever be angry with you ever again. Live eternally in bliss, whatever you wish. And Allah visits you every now and then, you get to see him subhanahu wa ta'ala and talk to him. You go back and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for you things beyond that. And every time you meet the people of the above heavens and you hug them and you meet them, some of their light and their beauty passes on to you, a little bit of it. Huh? Like when you meet, and when you visit a person who sells perfume, you come back home, you smell like perfume, right? When you visit a person who is a panel beater, then you come back home smelling like what? Like flames and paint and things, right? But however, in Jannah, you meet these people and you come back with more nur, and your wives look at you, and you look at your wives, because they also get to visit and see. And they say to you, you look more beautiful than when I first saw you. And you say to her, you look even more beautiful than when I saw you before. So you keep changing your appearance. And the wife gets beautiful in different ways in your appearance. Yes, subhanahu wa ta'ala in Jannah. Lastly, I ended with talking about the actual dirt and soil of Jannah. The soil of Jannah, the earth of Jannah, my dear brothers and sisters, it's not like the earth that we see here. It's not dirt, it's not soil, it's not clay. In Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this soil in Jannah to be grains of special essence, of fragrances that are made into grains on earth. Sorry, on the floor of Jannah. And light emanates from them, and your light is beyond that. On top of it, there are pebbles everywhere, scattered everywhere. You know, like when you walk around in the street, or you walk in the grass, or you walk anywhere, there's sometimes some rocks, little pebbles on the earth. They're insignificant, you just kick them around. Well, in Jannah, they are diamonds, sapphire, and pearls. Some pearls are blue, others are red, and some are white. And these are insignificant things you walk on in Jannah. It's what you walk on, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And grass, there is also grass of saffron in Jannah. And there are rivers and fountains in the floor of Jannah. Rivers, as Allah describes them, from beneath which rivers flow, like beneath your feet. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how they flow. They flow amazingly, these rivers and these fountains that you drink from. They have cups of gold and silver. They have pipes of gold and silver. Some of them are like, you know, milk, and they taste as sweet as honey. Obviously over there it's beyond the sweetness of this world. And lastly, and really lastly, I ended with this beautiful wonder that's in Jannah. And this is something I call out to those of you who have sacrificed their ears. Yes, their ears, not by cutting them off. Not sacrifice their ears by puncturing them. No, I'm talking about those who sacrifice their ears by preventing them from listening to the things which Allah forbids you to listen to. Not only music, but yes, one of the first is music and instruments of music. And avoid listening to gossip. Avoid, you know, eavesdropping on other people's affairs. Whoever is able to avoid their ears this, then guess what, they will get in Jannah. As Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi explains in his wonderful poem, he says, and there is in Jannah leaves on the trees, as I explained. They hit one another when a breeze comes, and they produce a beautiful musical sound. And then Allah Ta'ala sings with his voice. Now, Allah Ta'ala sings for you. So Ibn al-Qayyim says, so avoid the yaka an hadhihi al-alhani, whoever wants to listen to Allah's beautiful voice. Yes, without imagining, it's not like the voice of human beings. Anyone who tries to imagine that, obviously, you know, this is haram, this is a major sin to try and think, to believe that it is like the word, like our voices beyond that. And with the leaves of paradise, Ibn al-Qayyim says, so let your ears avoid the melodious instruments of this world which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbids. Well, my brothers and sisters, the time for the adhan has now come. I thank you for listening. Inshallah, next week we will continue the last session about the pleasures of Jannah. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. In the last session about the pleasures of Jannah. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.